many things about Thanksgiving that we sometimes pause to think about more during that time of the year, during this time of the year that we have to be thankful for. We are thankful for you guys and the new church family that God has directed us to, and we've been talking about that as a family. Even the night you guys voted, there was a baby shower at our church, so my wife and the girls were all there, and Brother Paul called me that evening, and we talked, and then as a family, we sat around in the living room and we talked, and we're talking with the kids and just sharing, okay, this is what's going on. And of course, they've been knowing, and but we're so thankful for you guys, and we're thankful for the direction that God has given our family. Thankful that God has called us here and that you have called us here under God's direction. And so we're thankful for that. Honored. I'm just so thankful. I'm honored, and yet I'm humbled to follow in the footsteps of Pastor Bob. I'm just so thankful, Pastor Bob. I know I've told you this personally, but I'm just so thankful for Pastor Bob personally. I don't know what he means to you, but I know what he means to me. And granted, I've never been able to sit under his ministry, but I'm thankful for the ministry that he has given to me. Our many times, many hours on the phone, and the time, and the many times on the same phone conversation, he's had to call me, and I've had to call him back because of my cell phone. And thankful for just the times we've been able to get together. I'm thankful for him, but again, I'm thankful for you guys as a church family. I shared it, I think, a little bit one night, but I'm thankful for again how God directed us here. Began back in June. We had missionaries come to our church, the Segurado family. Our church back in Muskegon has supported them for a number of years. And last time they were at our church, I was assistant pastor there. And so my dad was just sharing with them what God had been doing in our lives. And his brother Joseph, who said, "I know a church." And you know, it's exciting to look back and say, God led us to that church and that church to us. And I can't wait. I look forward to talking with Brother Joseph and sharing with him what God did, and that God used a missionary from Spain to lead us to you and put us all together as a church family. And so we're thankful for that. I'm humbled. I'm humbled that God would use me in this capacity. It was always an incredible opportunity to serve as an assistant pastor, assistant to my dad for a number of years full time. And watching him, and yet it takes on a different light when God calls you to be the head pastor, the senior pastor. And so I'm humbled, and so I ask that you would just continue to pray for us. We're praying for you guys, thankful for those we've gotten to know by name. Some of you, I have secretly found out your cell phone numbers, and so I've already texted, I know. But we're praying for you guys, and we're thankful for the relationship that we've been able to build, and look forward to continuing to build that relationship. And our burden and desire is to be very approachable, very, very open. And if there are things that we've done or said, whether it's before now or it comes in the future, that maybe in some way we have offended or we would offend, would you always come to us? Don't just keep things and say, well, this is what they said and this is what they meant. If we don't know we said it or meant it, then it's hard for us to correct it. And so whatever, just come to us. We love you, and we're thankful that you already love us. And we're just excited to see how God has brought us together, our hearts together as a church family. And it's been interesting and neat already, even over this last week or so, transitioning in our own speech as we talk about our church. It's weird because the church that we were at for so many years is no longer our church. This is our church. And so we are so thankful that God has called us here. Would you be praying on Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock? We have a meeting with our realtor. He'll be walking through our house to point out a few more things we need to get done. We purchased the house actually in January. It'll be 10 years ago that we purchased this house. It was just before our second. Our Sarah was born. She was born in April of that year, but we purchased it in January. And we've done a lot of remodeling in the house, and there are a few more things we wanted to get done and a couple things we've done. And we just want to touch base with our realtor. What are his most important ideas for the house and our burden to get this on the market, to get it sold? And would you be praying for housing situation as we're looking here? Even as we've done some looking already on the internet, just through some realty websites. But as we contact a realtor, just we know that God will work it out, because He has led us here, and it was God who called us here. And that's what's so neat. And Sunday School Pastor Bob was talking about denominationalism. I'm thankful that as much as we're Baptists, we don't have this hierarchy who says, okay, you go here and you go here. And as I talk about that with people at McDonald's, you know, some of them, it's been interesting to hear their response. You know, you don't get assigned the year, or you don't go there. It's God who leads and led. We're just so thankful to watch God continue to do that. There's so many things that we can be thankful for, but you guys are one of the things we're thankful for this Thanksgiving season, and how God has continued to work. Some Thanksgiving quotes that have stuck out to me. Cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you, and to give thanks continuously. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. That doesn't mean that everything was easy, but that all things do continue to cultivate us in our life. Well, really, that's a scriptural truth, isn't it? From Romans, that all things work together for good. He is a wise man who does not grieve for the things which he has not, but rejoices for those things which he has. And that was one of the lessons that God had to teach me many times in life, but even through this last phase of life that he had us go through, was rejoicing over the things that I have, and not just being sorry for the things that I don't have. And then here, now therefore, and this was something George Washington said, his proclamation of Thanksgiving. Now therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. So many things to be thankful for. And as we think about Thanksgiving, we were in Philippians. We're going to turn back to Philippians here during this message time. But as we think about Thanksgiving, a major part of being thankful is rejoicing. Not always in that which is the easiest to rejoice over, but sometimes in those things that are difficult that we don't even understand. That we may not ever understand this side of heaven. But God is faithful. Amen. And God is. And that alone is reason to rejoice. There are so many things to rejoice and give thanks over. But as we think about this idea of giving thanks and always rejoicing in the Lord, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. As we walk away this morning, I want us to take away this thought. To always rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, whatever situation is in your life. And there are situations in our life that are tending to keep us from rejoicing, or that are easier to keep us from rejoicing, because they distract us and we don't like them and we don't enjoy them. But that we must rejoice in the Lord. It is a choice that you and I must make. This morning we'll look at three deliberate choices that will help us to get back to always rejoicing in the Lord, no matter the difficult or the easy situations that we go through. Father, we thank you for your love. God, I pray that you will work in our hearts through the morning service. God, we pray that as we've sung already, and not just in preparation for your word, but God, as we've sung in worship to you, God, I pray that you would make a difference in our lives, that as we go from here today, we would always rejoice in the Lord. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you enjoy computers and technology of that sort? Good, about 5. Okay, now as you work on your computer, there are different file types that you use. And a main file type that you'll see, and if you ever get on the internet to download a document, many times it's in a PDF format. And a PDF is a portable document format. And that is to keep that document looking consistent. And so it can look the same no matter what device you're looking at it on. The reality is, we go through life to keep rejoicing consistent, to keep Thanksgiving consistent in our life. I want us to kind of think about that today. PDF, pray, direct, and follow. Number one, as we look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I see that there is rejoicing that must be done, the time for rejoicing. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. We know that rejoicing is at all times, Paul says. Rejoicing is an attitude of the heart lived out through your responses, not something that is just a feeling. We say we can feel certain ways, but the choice to rejoice exceeds the way we feel. But it must be something that we do even when we don't feel like rejoicing. It is a choice. Thanksgiving means the act of giving thanks or grateful acknowledgement of the benefits or favors, especially to God. Yes, we give thanks to others. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. But as we stop to think about Thanksgiving, as we read George Washington's proclamation about Thanksgiving, we're reminded that it's all about thanksgiving to God. And stopping to thank Him for the many blessings of which He has given to us. How many of you are thankful we don't have snow yet? Now on the front of your bulletin, it talks about that. And it will come. But then I trust you'll be thankful for the snow. Because it's God and the reminders that we have. But no matter if it's fun or difficult, God wants us to rejoice and to give thanks in Him. Thanksgiving. Gratitude or grateful language, especially to God. The word rejoice in verse 4 here gives us the idea to feel great joy or gladness, to be cheerful, to be calmly happy or well off. What Paul commands here is not just a cheerful disposition, but rather something that requires supernatural power. It is joy in the Lord. We're reminded of that throughout the Bible. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we're reminded the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And we see that throughout, that it truly is something that not just of us as we're going through life circumstances, because life circumstances don't always make us feel joyful or don't always cause us to rejoice. But it's God who is greater than all that can bring about that rejoicing in our lives. Rejoice in the Lord always requires living by faith and not by feelings. And it's easy. Sometimes it's fun to live by feelings because we're happy, we're on that high and exciting things in life, and then that low can come. We think of that with Elijah and Mount Carmel, and here there was the high and the experience of seeing God have great victory, and then the very next day, the king's wife wanted to kill him. Talk about a low, going from a high to a low. And as he lived by his feelings, what did he do? He prayed and said, God, would you just take my life? Life is not worth living. But as we sang this morning, life is worth the living just because He lives. He is alive. And that is so much reason to rejoice in the Lord always. It is a choice. People don't rejoice when they worry or are angry, when they're anxious, disappointed, sad, defeated by sin, trying to work things out in their own strength and wisdom. But we rejoice when we focus on God. And these three choices as we look at here this morning, and we see three practical steps to help us rejoice. Choice number one, pray to God. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number one, we must pray to God. Declare unto God as if He didn't know your requests. Now granted, God already knows your requests. We often will tell our kids as we're trying to get them to clean up the house, whether it's their bedroom or the living room or the dining room or something that they've got, clean it just like if someone was coming over tonight. And they've learned to say, but they're not. But that's how we've got to live our lives. Just like God is standing before us, He's not in His physical presence before us, but He's always here. And God, He wants us to declare our prayer requests to Him just as if He didn't know them, though He does know them. He's very cognizant. He knows everything. But yet He says, pray to me. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 6, he says, be careful, don't be anxious for nothing. The Lord wants your requests. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He uses this idea of prayer and supplication together. Prayer often tends to be a more general word, while supplication tends to refer to a particular need or object. Don't we all have needs, specific needs in our lives? And as we pray about those things, God already knows them. God knew a long time ago that he was going to lead our family here to Munich. We had no clue. God knew when he closed the door on our family on deputation and church planting in Los Angeles that he had different and better plans for us. But we didn't know that. But we had to pray specific, God, you have got to lead us. We don't want to just go stumbling through life. We don't want to just go and do what we think is best or what do we do now? But we pray specifically. And don't we do that in every aspect of life? Whether it's over the sicknesses or the other issues of life that are going on. Prayer and supplication, giving that idea of specificness. God knows it, but he wants us to bring it to him. Paul says, be careful, or again, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Again, as we think of this idea of always rejoicing in the Lord, we don't rejoice when we're anxious, when we worry. And yet, isn't worry so easy to do? What's going to happen here? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to go on? What are we going to do? And all these thoughts come racing through, and they go a lot faster than that, don't they? I mean, man, our mind just can whip these thoughts around. And yet, Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God wants your requests. Ephesians 5, verse 5. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 real quick. Ephesians 5, verse 5. It says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As we think of that aspect in the change in our life, we can come before God. He goes on in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful, as he talks about these relationships. Because you and I have been changed, we can come before God in prayer boldly. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Again, we are not what we used to be. We have that presence before God. Verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Not giving up. Praying faithfully. The Lord wants your requests. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, we can look at that aspect and see praying for those in leadership and other aspects of our government. So many different places in the Bible we can see that. But we see that if we're going to live a consistent life of thanksgiving, of always rejoicing in the Lord, we must first choose to pray to God. Because problems come our way and we don't know what to do. But our first thing is, okay, God, you've got to take care of it because I can't. Again, prayer often tends to be that general, while supplication is that specific, and God wants it. There are sometimes we just don't know how to pray. Remember, we read in the passage, praying in the Spirit. God knows sometimes when we don't even know the words, God, I don't even know how to pray. I just need you. But he cares. He knows our hearts. He knows what we need more than we can know. But praying, rejoicing by first choosing to pray. Because God wants your request. But he doesn't just want your request. He also wants your thanksgiving. Back to Philippians chapter 4. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Again, this last Thursday we celebrated Thanksgiving. Something we just celebrate. But really, it's a very important word. You know, we think about it. With some of our words, they have meaning. Words have meanings. Isn't that interesting? But as we think about this idea with Thanksgiving, it's not just, okay, this is another day. The idea of Thanksgiving is giving thanks, that gratitude to God. Paul referred to both general and specific prayer and said that both should include thanksgiving. Those needs in our lives that we just don't know how to face. We don't know what to do next. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know how to deal with this situation. But God, I thank you that you're already there. There's a song we were talking with Hannah about, I think it was this last week, he's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether in joy or in sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He's already there. He already knows what's going on. And so that's how we can thank him when we don't understand. Because he knows. And he's right there with us. He promises in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, if you know Christ as Savior. There is so much to thank God for. But this thanksgiving is as we choose to pray. It's not just that we come before God and say, God, I need, I don't know what to do, I can't get through. And God wants to hear that. But as Paul says, to give these things to God, he says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. For who he is. There is so much that you and I can thank God for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Not very much beyond Philippians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. There's a lot of short verses here. In fact, my mind often thinks, well, these are just the list of short verses in the New Testament. But it's interesting, as we look at these short verses and how they affect really this whole aspect of choosing to pray with thanksgiving, as they affect our life with always choosing to rejoice. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Which again, we see that kind of similar to Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It says here, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Man, there's a lot of these same truths, just in a lot shorter format here. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then he says, quench not the Spirit. So, you know, I tend to think that if we don't rejoice, and we don't pray without ceasing, and we don't give thanks, that we tend to quench the Spirit. Because remember, even earlier we read about praying in the Spirit. He says, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of what? Peace. Sanctify you wholly, set you apart, change you. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then Paul turns around and says, brethren, what? Pray for us. We all need that. But it's with thanksgiving. The Lord wants your thanksgiving. At difficult times, what is there to be thankful for? How many of you are like me? There you go. That's just a blanket statement. Okay, there you go. How many of you are like me, and when you get in a difficult time, your brain struggles to think through the blessings you have? Anybody else? Like, I get in life, and sometimes difficult circumstances happen, and I struggle to remember the things God has done. I think that's why it's very important and wise at times to write down some of the works of God or some of the things God has done and specifically choose to remember them or the ways God has led, because there are difficult times and it's like, okay, did God really do this or am I just making these thoughts up? And then I can look back and say, no, wow, God has worked here and here and I can trust him once again. But what are some specific things that you and I can be thankful for? Well, the easy pat answer, which I think is something that we can just naturally say, but sometimes we just take for granted, is our what? Our salvation. It really is such a blessing. As Paul often says, and such were some of you. Our eternal life is different than eternal death. Praise God. Our life here on earth has hope because Christ makes the difference and he offers us that hope in the midst of difficulty. God never promised an easy path, but he promised to go with us through that difficult path. And there's so many things. Remember the past blessings, the present blessings, the knowledge that all things are working together for good. All of those things are cultivating in us the work God wants us to do and the way that you and I can better glorify God. And we don't understand that. I can't understand all of the situations in your life that you're going through, and you can't understand all the situations in my life. And yet God uses those to make each of us who he wants us to be to better what? Glorify him, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Rejoice in the Lord. Doesn't that glorify God? Wow. So if you and I are going to consistently and constantly rejoice, number one, we must choose to pray to God. Number two, you must choose to direct your thoughts. Back to Philippians chapter 4. Choose to direct your thoughts. Verse 7. After he talked about praying and offering that thanksgiving to God, verse 7 he says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Sometimes it's easy to separate verse 6 from verse 7 and just say, okay, well, I want the peace of God. Well, how do we get that? We have to choose to direct our thoughts. Rejoicing in the Lord. Number one, as we choose to direct our thoughts, we must flee anxiety. Flee anxiety. We saw that up in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Be worried. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. We see Jesus Christ talking a little bit about that idea of worrying. Matthew 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, than the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, nor yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Now, God is not saying, Jesus Christ is not saying to forget any planning and don't do anything. Just sit back and do nothing and trust me. Because we see clearly throughout the Bible, in fact, a verse that sticks out in my mind, he that doesn't provide for his own, kind of a paraphrase there, is worse than an infidel in the idea of planning and setting and taking care of ours. And God has given us wisdom. He has given us abilities to help take care of our family and the needs that we have. And yet, what he's saying here is, let's not worry about all these things. I'll take care of you. Who is it that gave you the ability to do the job that you do or to provide or to take care of these things? It's God. And here he goes on in verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Directing your thoughts, not to worrying about all the stuff of life, though we need to take care of it and be wise and careful, but seeking God first, fleeing the anxiety, that's how we receive that peace. He says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Flee that anxiety and receive God's peace. Because he goes on in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It's as we kind of throw that back to him. People who are into weightlifting or exercising of certain various aspects, specifically with weights, they have what's called a medicine ball. A medicine ball is a heavy ball. It's a lot of weight to it, and as you throw it, you got to kind of brace yourself and catch it, whether it's going to be thrown in the air and coming back and you're trying to catch it, or you're throwing it at someone and you're both grasping that and strengthening. The reality in life is that God doesn't want us to throw up our problems in the air so that we can just brace ourselves and catch them and be ready for tomorrow. He wants us to throw that up into Him because He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." But He also tells us to basically roll our troubles onto Him because He cares for you, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. See, as you and I are going to choose to direct our thoughts daily, and this is tough, because our thoughts want to direct us. Our fears want to direct us. The philosophy in this world, let your heart decide. No, let God change your brain so you can choose Him and direct your thoughts according to the Word of God, not just what you feel like. When we live by our feelings, we don't tend to rejoice. We can be very discouraged and struggle with a lot of things in life. But number two, it says direct your thoughts, fleeing anxiety. One of the songs that meant a lot to Karen and I as we'd been going through that time nearing the end of our deputation, I think I shared with you somewhat about one of the gentlemen. He's actually from Michigan here, but he's been involved in music ministry now for a number of years. And one of the songs, one of the verses to one of the songs he wrote said, "When the darkness surrounds you and God seems so silent, your back's against the wall, you may be tempted to doubt God's goodness. It feels like he won't hear your call. The questions take shape and cloud your mind. Is God in control after all?" Don't we sometimes wonder that? "My life's out of balance and I'm going to fall." You ever felt like that? God, there's nothing else I can do in life. I don't know. But the song, as he wrote this, he goes on and says, "But if you'll read in the Bible, page after page, you'll see that he's there and he'll never forsake." We know these truths, but we have to choose to direct our thoughts according to biblical principles as opposed to letting our feelings decide. He says, "But if you read in the Bible, page after page, you'll see that he's there and he'll never forsake. Surrender your life is all you must do. You'll begin to see God's point of view. He's there to change you." And the chorus of this song goes on, "Go pray again. Go kneel again. Go knock on the door. Ask him for more. Strength for the fight. Peace in the night. Trusting by faith the answer he'll send. Go pray again." It's a choice that you and I must make. One, to pray to God, but to direct our thoughts to God. God, I can't just stop and sit here and mull over all the negatives of this. You've got to do something by focusing on God. Focus on seeking God. We read that in Matthew 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." If my focus is growing to be like Christ, because granted, our focus doesn't always focus there completely, but as we continue to choose that daily, as my focus is growing to be like Christ and on Christ, my trials won't seem so bad. They're tough. Doesn't erase them. But God is real. Focusing on God will cause us to rejoice in the Lord always. But you can't focus on God if you're not saved. The Bible makes it very plain and clear that you must be born again, that our sins separate us from God, and that all of us have sinned. And the reality is there must be a point in time in your life where you can look back and say, "I realize I am a sinner in need of a Savior, that Christ died for my sins. And according to the Scripture, he was buried and rose again." And if you don't know Christ as Savior, that's where your focus on God has to start. "God, I need you." But if you do know Christ as Savior, we've got to go back to the fundamentals, the basics. I'm saved, and I need to focus on God. God, would you help me to direct my thoughts? Because, man, my thoughts like to direct me. Worry, anxiousness. But God, I want to rejoice in you always, because your word says to, it's a command. But I can't do that if I don't choose to pray, if I don't choose to direct my thoughts on God. It's been said there are many people who never know the joy of the Lord because they have failed to see themselves as miserable sinners. The only way to be happy in Christ is to be desperately unhappy without Him. Yes, we need to be saved, but remembering what our salvation really is and focusing on Christ, rejoicing in the Lord. As you direct your thoughts and you flee anxiety and as you focus on God. Verse 8 talks about filtering our mind. Again, as all these things are involved in focusing. All of these things are involved in directing our thoughts and not letting them direct us. Verse 8, and we don't have time to get into all of this. But in verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." True. God is the norm of truth. Not just in speaking, but in all of life. He is true. That's how we are to live our lives, and those are the thoughts we're to think on. Honest, that which is venerable, deserving honor, being consecrated to God and His worship, just according to divine standards. Satisfies all obligations to God, pure in motives and actions, undefiled. Lovely, that which appeals to the affectionate or admiring recognition of others. Amiable, that which calls forth love. Good report, appeal to the affectionate. Fair sounding. Virtue. Paul only uses that word here. But really, we see the idea of whatever value may reside in your old heathen concept of virtue, it's even much greater than that. That which is right, excellence of any kind. And we could continue. In fact, we could look at this verse 8 and have such a message with that. But again, the idea that I must filter my thoughts through these standards. Does my worry fit into that? That might be true. But is it virtuous? It might be true, but is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? All of our thoughts, our worries, our fears, whatever struggles are going on in our life and keeping us from rejoicing in the Lord always, as I filter them through the directions of verse 8, it will change the way I think. Directing my thoughts, not letting them control me, and being blown about with every wind of doctrine, we're reminded in other places. Why are people blown about with every wind of doctrine? Because it sounds good. It sounds good. It sounds good. But the reality is, I must look at God's Word and let Him and direct my thoughts. Choosing. It's a choice. This week, something's going to happen and it's not going to make you want to rejoice. But you got to pray to God. You've got to direct your thoughts. And last, we see following godly examples. Paul says in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It's interesting, there are godly examples in all of our lives. The most, as you and I might classify, the most godly individual on earth has someone more godly than him. And ultimately, all of us must look at the godly God, Jesus Christ. His ultimate example reminded even in Hebrews 12, the example. But we see him in many other passages. But Paul says, the things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There are godly examples on this earth. Paul didn't go through easy times. We read about many of his struggles. We read about some of the times where he wanted God to take this thorn out of his flesh. And yet God said, my grace is sufficient. So whatever things in our life seem to keep us from wanting to rejoice, man, as we look at some other godly individuals, God, would you help me to be that way? Would you help me to pray like them? Would you help me to direct my thoughts like them? Because they are following you. And that's what I need. I need your help to do that, God. Those who have taught you, spiritual leaders in your life. Those who've lived life around you, special relationships. There are others that you and I can follow. Who are you following? Unto God. And as we look at those things, these three important choices to help us to always rejoice. Number one, pray to God. Number two, direct your thoughts. Don't let them direct you. And number three, follow godly examples. That's how you and I can rejoice even when we don't feel like it. That's how we can celebrate Thanksgiving every day. Not the holiday and get off work. Or not the holiday and go eat all that turkey every day. Or whatever else it may mean to you. But that you and I would rejoice and have the joy of the Lord as our strength when things are tough, when we don't feel like it, when we don't want to do it, when we'd rather be in our pity party because that feels good. But that you and I can always rejoice by praying, directing our thoughts, and following godly examples in our lives. Father, we thank you for your love.